you know what time it is. It's time for Grating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grating the Nerd. This is the show where Zach and I check out all kinds of things. A lot of it's nerd related, but some of it ain't. Zach, I don't know. What one word would you usually describe of how you feel about most things we check out?
Cantankerous.
Cantankerous. I think mine would be waffles. Like, usually I'm in the mood, but sometimes I'm just like, I can't deal with this right now. Hey, Zach, how's it going, man?
Oh, buddy, it's been better.
Yeah, you've had a bit of a week, right?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of fires I'm trying to put out, and some stuff I'll share on here, and other stuff is just too, nobody wants to hear that shit, so...
Gotcha. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but like my car earlier in the week just stopped working for some reason, just wouldn't turn on. And we had AAA come out and they told me the battery was fine. He thought maybe it was just the cold weather. And then we got to start that day. And then the next day I went to go out again and couldn't get it to start. And so I called AAA again and they came out and that guy said the battery was dead as a doornail.
Really?
Yeah. And he thought that because of how new the battery was, it's not even a year old yet.
Oh, wow.
That it might be another part that's failing, like the alternator.
Like the alternator, yeah, or something. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was wondering when you told me that it wasn't starting, but all the lights and things were coming on.
Yeah, all the lights and things were coming on.
Yeah, not now, though.
Yeah, the next day, when the battery was completely dead, I couldn't even get the car to unlock with the power locks.
Oh, with the fob? Yeah, shit. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like an alternator, just slowly draining your battery, especially in this kind of weather when it's cold, you know, seems to drain it a lot quicker. But yeah, I've dealt with one or two of those going bad in my day. It sucks.
Yeah.
Just a pain in the ass, right? It's one of those things, too, where it's like, you know, your transmission goes out and you know it's like buying a new furnace. You're just like, oh, this is going to kill my bank account. Mm-hmm. The alternator sucks because it's not cheap, but you're like, this is just a pain in the ass, you know, mm-hmm. like just fucking my day over. That sucks, man. Yeah. Sorry to hear. So any word, any update on if it's of anybody's like been able to determine what it is?
No, my appointment technically wasn't until Monday because they were so booked up, but I dropped it off early on the off chance they could still get to it. And I've not heard anything yet.
Gotcha. Right on. Best of luck with that, man, because that sucks. Yep. Car troubles are the worst. What, anything else that you want to talk about that's gone on this week?
Nothing I want to really share on the show.
Gotcha. That's fair. Yeah. My week hasn't been too hateful. I did wake up this morning coughing like a crazy person, though, and my nose is all stuffed up. But that's because I helped my brother-in-law hang a bunch of drywall yesterday, and with it being so cold, the windows weren't open and we were cutting it with a saw and like one of those like little vibrating, like, I don't know if you've seen them. They look like almost the blade, I guess you call it, looks almost like a toothed spackle, like a spatula type thing. Mm-hmm.
I know what you're
talking
about.
Just, you know, it'll like vibrate into the side of something. And so we were doing that and it was just filling the room up with drywall dust. And so, you know, like always, like I got home last night from helping, or yesterday afternoon from helping him, and I showered and then continued to blow like drywall boogers out of my nose for a couple hours.
Oh, geez.
You know, and so then this morning I woke up, my throat's drier than normal and my nose is just full of stuff constantly. But that's why. Just, you know, extra dry on top of the dry.
That's making my mouth dry just thinking about it.
Yeah. But yeah, not too bad otherwise, man. Just been hanging. The kids have gone fully remote for the next couple weeks at school.
Yeah.
So that's seems to be a recurring theme around the area.
Dayton and West Carrollton did too.
Yeah, we got bad enough. I don't know what the final tally was. Wednesday was their last day in class. So like physically in school, but I don't know what the final tally was, but I know on Tuesday my daughter came home and was like, "Well, we had 110 kids out at the high school today." and 11 staff. And I'm like, Jesus, like, this is everybody, you know? So, yeah, but it's just been crazy, man. So,
yeah, a friend of mine's wife works in the Dayton School District, and they said that their teacher, like their teacher staff throughout all the schools was down to like 30%.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So wild. And I know Tippa said, like, we can't even find subs. Like, we're lucky if we can get one sub a day, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's insane.
Well, they you know, that might be changing just because they changed the substitute requirements in the state of Ohio.
Yeah. 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 Now you just have to have a pulse.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Be 18, have a pulse.
Yep. Which, in fairness, that's been what the teaching, not sub, but teaching requirements are in Florida for a long time. And they seem to be doing okay. I mean, nobody ever looks at Florida and thinks, bunch of illiterate assheads. You know, like, but yeah, just craziness, man. But that's been about it for me, man. Everything else has just been pretty by the book.
Yeah.
Same old, trying to not go out as much as possible. And just mostly because of the weather, like even all the virus shit, I'm like less concerned. Like I just step outside and I'm like, it's freezing out here.
Yeah.
I've just been trying to stay bundled up like an 80-year-old woman, you know? But anyway, well, you want to get into some news of the week before we dig into the show proper?
Yep, let's dig in.
All right, man. So, no surprise here. We're going to start with some Spider-Man news. We've been doing that, it seems, for like a long time now. But first things first, apparently Tom Holland, little Tommy Hollins, spoke this week and... because Spider-Man No Way Home has garnered 3 Golden Tomatoes. So that's the Rotten Tomatoes, like for the best reviewed movie of the year and other stuff, I guess.
Oh.
But so anyway, he replied, he made like a little video, like a thank you type thing. And it was like, guys, Spider-Man No Way Home has received 3 Golden Tomatoes, so I just wanted to say a massive thank you on behalf of everyone from Sony and Marvel, the critics, the fans who have shown so much love and respect and support for our movies. It means the world, and hopefully, and this is what people are keen in on, we can do it again and again and again. But thank you, thank you, thank you, and we'll see you soon. So everybody's keying in on the again and again and again, and they're like, oh my God, he's making every movie with Marvel ever. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited. I like him as Spider-Man. I know that other people have their favorites, but I really like Tom Holland.
Yeah, me too.
I think he embodies the youthful exuberance of being a superhero while still being able to carry the, you know, the more somber moments of things. So. Let's see, another Spider-Man news. You know, every good thing must come to an end. This week, Spider-Man No Way Home is finally dethroned at the box office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in North America. Scream took the top spot this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I will admit, I've read just some like non-spoiler reviews of Scream. And everybody's like, it's pretty good. I'm like, really? Like, everything I've read is just like, it's probably the top in the top 2 or 3 of the franchise, which I mean, they've made 11 of them or something. They haven't made 11, but you know what I mean? Like, I think I read that it was as good as number 2 in one review, which this person had said, like, that was my favorite one by a long shot. Huh. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, I've read a few reviews that it's been good, but I will say that, they expect Spider-Man by the end of Monday, which is a holiday weekend in the US, with Martin Luther King Jr. Day, they expect, by the end of this long weekend that Spider-Man will have topped, Black Panther's $700 million domestic take. Yeah. So they think it'll be up over 705 million just in the US by the end of the weekend.
That's crazy.
Which is insane to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, it keeps trucking. I'm here for it. Let's see. Looking back in other news, we had in a report or in an interview this week, Jeremy Renner let people know Robert Downey Jr.'s first impression of Chris Hemsworth when they all met on the Avengers set. Did you read this?
No.
It's really funny. He's like, yeah, Hemsworth is amazing, but we didn't know of him, right? On the first day, we're all parading around in our costumes, so it looks like it's Halloween. We're excited, but equally feeling ridiculous. I feel like we all knew each other somehow, some way, except we didn't know this Hemsworth guy, because he's from Australia. You know, he comes from Australia, he did most of his acting there beforehand. And he comes in, he's the tallest, he's the most good looking, and Robert Downey Jr. was like, we gotta break his knee, we gotta take him out, this guy's too good looking, he's too tall, he's too charming, fuck this guy. Which I can see Robert Downey Jr. saying, and it cracks me up. He's too good looking, he's too tall, he's too charming, fuck this guy.
That's funny.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty hilarious, though. Jeremy Renner recalled that was their first day on set with Chris Hemsworth. Like, and I've heard other actors say that. Like, I've heard people go, you put on the costume and you sort of feel like you're playing dress up. And then you see Hemsworth and you're like, I think that guy is a superhero. You know, like he actually looks like one. So I'm like, that's funny. But let's see. In fact, one of the ones I seen, we'll jump to this story, because one of the interviews I saw was John Krasinski, you know, kind of famously auditioned for Captain America.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think he was like Marvel's second choice behind Chris Evans. I think it was him, if I remember right. He was on some late show and he was talking about, he went in and they do a fitting because he made it far enough in the process. And he was like, I put on the costume and, you know, I was like, I feel weird. And I think that he said that he saw Hemsworth because they were on, you know, they're auditioning, but maybe he saw Evans. I don't know. I don't remember. I think he said it was Hemsworth, though. He saw Hemsworth in his Thor costume and he was like, I'm out. I don't belong here. Thanks. no, that ain't me. But the reason I bring Krasinski up is there is a new rumor from the Illuminati that Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness could feature John Krasinski in a cameo as, you want to guess?
Jim from The Office?
Yes! Jim from The Office. No, the rumor is that, you know, we'd heard that there was a rumor that a Fantastic Four member may appear. And so the Illuminati has heard a rumor that John Krasinski may appear as Reed Richards.
Really?
Which... Dude, I'm crossing my I think he would be a fantastic Reed Richards, you know? Huh. I think Krasinski can pull off that, like kind of shy, nerdy, you know, like, but also flip it over and become, like, a leader and a superhero, you know? And Reed Richards is always kind of a geek, you know, even when he's, like, beating up bad guys. So I think that would be awesome, man. He's my pick. I hope that he gets it, but... we'll see. I mean, again, it's a huge rumor, you know, but I think that would be awesome, though. Let's see. In other Marvel news, apparently in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, Winston Duke, who plays M'Baku, is supposed to have a quote unquote expanded role. So they're given. I don't know how you felt about M'Baku or Winston Duke. I love that guy, man. Like, both, I think the character's great, but I also love him as an actor. I am pumped for that. I don't know how you feel about M'Baku.
I don't remember him, to be honest with you.
He's the leader. He's the one that fought T'Challa, first challenged T'Challa for the throne.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about now.
He also was in the movie Us, the Jordan Peele horror movie. Mm-hmm. And he's just great. He's such a great actor, man. And you know, I've seen him off screen in interviews and stuff. The dude just oozes charisma, you know? So yeah, I'm all for that. And then in the last bit of Marvel news, we're getting rumors and thoughts about when the next set of Marvel shows is going to appear on Disney Plus. But Marvel has announced, they released a teaser yesterday to announce that a full trailer for Moon Knight is coming Monday this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited, man. I haven't watched the teaser yet because I'm trying to see if I can hold out to watch the actual trailer. But in a quick, I did see a quick synopsis by accident. They said it looks like you can see his suit that looks kind of bandagey, like forming around him almost. And then you see him fighting some humanoid that seems somewhat bestial. And they said, and looks a bit hairy. So they're thinking it might be the Werewolf by Night character from the holiday special that we're supposed to get in the fall.
Huh.
So I'm like, okay, I'm there for that. So I'm excited though, man, to see that trailer, that full trailer tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that lends credence to the speculation, the rumor that Moon Knight may be appearing on March 30th on Disney Plus. That's a rumor currently, but you know, we might get a release date tomorrow with the trailer, and I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later, man, because I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks cool.
Cool. That wraps me up for Marvel news. Let's see. We got a couple DC things and then a couple non-specific Marvel DC things. So, the first one is James Wan on his social media officially marked the last day of filming of Aquaman.
Oh.
So Aquaman and the, what is it called? Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is the sequel. And so, yeah, they just finished filming. So, or, you know, at least principal photography and stuff. I'm sure most of those big budget pictures do reshoots, but yeah. So I'm excited, man. We've talked about it. I enjoyed the first Aquaman, so I'm excited to see a follow-up. We'll actually talk about Aquaman a little bit later with what we're covering this week. just briefly, but let's see. And then in other DC news, DC Comics has announced a Flashpoint Beyond series. And I don't know if you remember or if you know much about the Flashpoint crossover in the comics. I know we've seen it in some of the CW shows and things like that, but
just bits, do you know pieces, much about no.
that? Okay. So I don't, you may know this though, because it's pretty well known. In the Flashpoint comics, the Flash ends up in an alternate universe where Bruce Wayne is killed in the alley instead of his parents.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this?
No.
Okay. So he ends up in another universe where Bruce Wayne gets shot instead of Martha and Thomas Wayne. And in that universe, that drives Martha to madness and she becomes the Joker and Thomas becomes Batman.
Huh.
But Thomas in that universe, a little bit different. His symbol is a bat over like a red circle in the background, not the oval, but it's kind of a circle behind the bat.
Okay.
And his mask.
Wait, like the Bacardi logo?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A little Bacardi, man. Yeah, I've never thought of that. You're absolutely 100% right.
That's funny.
Like the Bacardi logo. Oh, shit. At least that's how I've seen it drawn. I can't remember if the original was that way or not. That's funny as shit, man. But then also his eyes and a lot of the cowls, instead of being whited over, they're like red. Right. And he uses a gun and he just kills bad guys.
Oh.
Like, you know, Batman's like, I don't kill. This Batman is like, I do kill. That's kind of my thing. But he won't kill Joker because it is still his wife. But yeah, she goes mad and becomes the Joker in that universe. So super interesting, like alternate take in the Flashpoint comics. Maybe we should read that sometime.
Yeah.
But Flash ends up bringing Thomas, gives him a message, which I think is like beautiful and weird at the same time. Thomas writes him a letter to give to his son. He's like, this is a letter. I think he already had it. He's like, this is a letter I've always wanted to give to Bruce if he was still alive. Like, this is how, you know, I care about him and blah, blah, blah. And he brings it back to the universe proper and gives it to Bruce Wayne. So I'm like, there's something really beautiful in that, but also like creepy and like off-putting, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, they've got this Flashpoint Beyond series that's coming out that they've announced that follows the Thomas Wayne Batman after the events of the original Flashpoint story.
Okay.
So we're going to get to see that Batman in his universe proper, which I think is kind of cool. I may have to check that out. All right, let's see. And I'm trying to see when that's scheduled to drop. Do they have a date? April 5th is when Flashpoint Beyond number 0, which is probably the intro book, is going to drop. So, and then let's see. We've got a couple pieces of news. Weta, the effects company, is reportedly signed on to handle the Xenomorph visual effects for the upcoming Alien FX series from Noah Hawley.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, Weta's great at what they do. So I'm excited about that. I don't know much else about this series, but if it gets us back to like old school Alien stuff, I'm here for it. You know,
yeah, I've not heard anything about it.
It says the series will commence production in March, so it'll probably be a while before we see anything from it. But and then lastly, this is not entertainment related news, but it entertained me to no end. So did you see the story just released this week? Democratic Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland made a revelation to Insider on Friday. Did you see this at all?
No.
About the events of last January and what transpired afterwards?
No, I think he's in charge of that committee, though, if I'm remembering correctly.
He is. Okay. He's in charge of the committee to investigate.
Yeah, yeah.
He let them know that the day after the ransacking of the Capitol, so on January 7th, the day after, rioters called House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office asking if there was a lost and found to retrieve their personal effects from. How fucking dumb do you have to be?
That's, well, that bless their little hearts.
And then Raskin said, I love this. Raskin said, the officers present quickly got on the phone and said, yeah, just give us your name, your address, your social, that kind of stuff, and we'll tie up all those loose ends. It said, and then he said, officers took down that information, which means those people were like, oh, sure.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love fucking dumb hillbillies, man.
Oh, my God.
It makes my day.
That is just like next level stupid.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, we're only crazy because we lost. If we'd have won, we'd been patriots. Okay, great. Good on you. Anyway, that's all my news for the week, man. I read that and I was like, fuck, I got to talk about this. Like, what a bunch of just ignorant, fucking neck bearded, hill jack, inbred, dumbass motherfuckers.
Well, that's America, so.
Yeah. People on Twitter were making fun of it. They were like, hey, I'm the one that took the dump in your desk drawer. Do you have my, have you seen my retainer? And then somebody else put like, I should have written down who said this on Twitter so I could shout them out. But somebody else wrote like, I built those gallows with my own wood. My orange rope has got to be there somewhere. Oh, fucking hill jacks. Anyway. All right, man. Well, hey, do you want to get into what we're chatting about this week?
Yep, let's dig in.
All right. I know you said you did not write a synopsis for this one, so my intro is a bit of a synopsis in and of itself.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. In this direct follow-up to the bonkers The Suicide Squad, yeah, the good one, James takes us on an 80s rock-fueled fever dream led by Christopher Peacemaker Smith, played once again by John Cena, who himself looks like he may have been bitten by a radioactive little person. Chris is out of the infirmary, out of prison, and ready to get back to life with his piece of shit of a father, who looks like the T-1000 is trying to emulate a Eraserhead. But his newfound freedom is short-lived when he's hijacked by a small cadre of Argus peeps that have a very important mission for him that is imperative to world security. Except they can't tell him anything about it because then the audience would see. Cue the bad guys with hearts of, I don't know, copper? John Economist and Amelia Harcourt. Sprinkle in newcomers with secrets, Clemson Mern and Leota Adebayo. And top it off with two costumes, Vigilante and Judo Master. All this leaves us with numerous questions. What is Project Butterfly? How deep does the cover-up go? How does Peacemaker wipe his own ass? We'll get into that and more as we discuss the new HBO Max series, Peacemaker.
That was so much better than I could have done.
No, how dare you, sir? You are a bastion of prose.
No, I don't know about that.
So, yeah, we're going to be talking. The series just dropped, and they led in with the first three episodes. So we decided that we would just cover those first three. Who knows? We may revisit once the series is concluded or, you know, maybe throughout. It would be a great mini-sode topic, but we're currently balls deep in the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing this way. Yeah. So Peacemaker, man. So we watched the first three episodes. How did you feel about the first three episodes?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Okay.
Yeah. It made me laugh.
Okay. Right on. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of humor in this, man. I mean.
There is.
It's like the little bit edgy without trying to be. Listen, we talked a little bit about that in our other episode, I believe, or maybe it was between episodes recording. You know, James Gunn has a history of being edgy and people calling him out for it. And I think it was between. But this is edgy in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some fun there. Don't get me wrong. There were a couple points where I still am like, oh, like I know that guy's the asshole and the bad guy, but But man, seeing him say that on camera makes my skin crawl a little bit. I don't know. I had fun with this too, man. It's just, I love that they've taken Peacemaker, a character that I couldn't give two shits about in the comic world, and they've made him interesting to me. Like I'm invested.
Yeah.
I'm into that. But go on. What else? You said you enjoyed it somewhat. Any other hot takes?
I like John Cena. I think he's probably a better actor than people give him credit for.
Agreed.
I think that he's got good comedic timing. He did a pretty good job in this. The only gripe that I had, which is probably just like stupid, but like he was shirtless a little too many times in this. And like, don't get me wrong, he's a good looking dude, but like, man, he's veiny as fuck. He's like a giant dick. He's
yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, yeah. You're right. He is shirtless a lot. He's pantless a lot.
That's true. You see his butt at least twice.
Yeah, see his butt twice. He's in tighty whities at one point. Yeah. You know, one of the aforementioned, but at least if this is the butt shot I'm thinking of, it's when he's plowing someone.
Yeah.
So we get a full on shot of that, which I don't even know how they do that. Like, you know, I've heard stories about how they have like a little sock that holds everything.
Uh huh.
There's no way that there wasn't at least some insertion in that scene.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I mean, he is fucking his cum troughs were like rubbing against that lady's ass cheeks.
Uh huh.
So there's something on the front of his person had to be pushing into something on the underside of her person. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's the funny thing is I've read some articles cause I'm kind of a weirdo, but I've read some articles about like certain Hollywood movies where they're just like, fuck it. Let's just fuck, you know, like where like people have just had sex and they've just filmed it instead of like wearing the sock and just rubbing.
Really?
Yeah. I think it happens pretty rarely. This wasn't sex, but the one that I read that really grossed me out was that Robert Pattinson in a movie, fucking hell. Okay. So I just looked up and I thought it was in one, but apparently Robert Pattinson has masturbated in four movies that he's been in.
Four?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was here. They give a list. High Life, Damsel, The Devil All the Time, and The Lighthouse. And at least one of those, I'm not going to look deeper because I don't want Google to start suddenly suggesting like pictures of Robert Pattinson masturbating. But at least in one of those, I read an interview where he's like, there's just no way to get that authentic look in your face and the body movement and stuff without just doing it. So he really just cranked off in front of the cameras. Like, that's fucking weird, right?
Yeah, that's weird as hell.
like I feel like that's a kink. That's got to be.
Yeah,
kink.
Yeah, like, it's just be.
Like they're paying me to masturbate in front of them.
What is the likelihood that that's happened to him four times? When I bet yeah, you like most people can't, most other actors can't count even once that that's happened to them.
Right, right.
I mean, he's got to be like expressing an interest in it on the DL, right? He's like, we get some kind of scene in here.
A masturbation scene in here, huh? Do you think we could add one? Or? This is voiceover work, Rob. Yeah, I know. Dude, what if that happens in the Batman? What if he wrecks Penguin's car and then just to assert his dominance, he goes up and just fucking cranks off on the back of the trunk of his car. He just throws a bat logoed towel at him and's like, clean yourself up, you're filthy.
It's messed up.
Yeah. But maybe he actually masturbated in whichever one of those was filmed first. And other movies were like, this guy gets it, man. Like, that's realistic as hell. Get him for the masturbation part, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I just imagine that, like, he's in the middle of it, and he's just like, do you see this? Oh, this is the skin of a killer. Fucking Twilight just pulls that out. And then fucking right before he jizzes all over the set. All right, cut.
So that rouser reminds me of Peacemaker.
Thanks, Rob. Anyway, Yeah, so Peacemaker. So we this picks up like right at the end of Suicide Squad, the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Right? Because we got the post-credit scene of him in the hospital, and this picks up right at the end of it.
Yeah.
His hospital stay.
So what I didn't get at the beginning there when he's talking to the doctor and she's going through his x-rays is, and I didn't bother to go back and rewatch it, but it sounded like she said that the bullet hit his clavicle, and that's what kept it from going any further. Right?
Oh, did she?
I thought that's what she said, but...
Okay. I thought she said having to have your clavicle replaced isn't too shabby for getting shot and a building falling.
Okay, maybe that was what it was. Yeah, I remember her saying something about his clavicle because, like, the bullet hole wound that he has, which looks like a cigar wound, it looks like right. somebody put a cigar out on his neck, is yeah. much higher up on his neck.
See, this is what happens when you spill paint in the garage at the Bender household. Oh, Judd Nelson. In the movie, it definitely hit him like in the side of the neck. It wasn't down around his clavicle.
Right, right. But okay, so I just misheard her. That's probably what she was talking about then.
Okay. Maybe she said that. If she did, I think it's a miss though, because that's not where the bullet hit in
right,
the movie.
Right.
So dude, we get a fucking amazing comedy scene to start out though, when he just steps outside of his room and he calls the custodian over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The custodian's played by, I'm looking up the actor's name right now because I can never remember it, Rizwan Manji.
Okay.
Yeah, who plays the custodian. He was fucking hilarious in Schitt's Creek. And he, I love that he's just like, listen, I don't have weed. That was a one-time thing. And I love that they it's Benjamin Buttoning the Good Will Hunting story. Like he's like, I went to MIT, but I'm a custodian because I don't like the pressure. I just thought that was a great. He's like, wait, you went to MIT? He's like, yeah. But I do like too that they immediately calls him out and he's like, you're racist. You know? And he's like, no, I'm not. He's like, well, you do seem to kill more minorities than you do white people. And then that comes up later in these episodes as well, which I thought was really freaking funny. But this is where we get the mention of these three episodes littered with references to the DC universe.
Oh, yeah.
But this is where we get our first one when he's like, you're not a hero. Aquaman's a hero. And I love Peacemaker's like, fuck Aquaman. He's like, I don't care if you want to bang women or men, but not fish. He's like, he doesn't do that. Like, that cracked my ass up so much. Like, just he's like, because he goes, I read about it online, you know, and I love that his like weird childlike like trust mm-hmm. of just anything he reads must be true. You know, I mean, he seems like the kind of guy that would bull rush the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. But I like that he's like, the what was the screen name? He's like, Pepe the Frog 89 wouldn't lie to me. It's like, ha, 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 so good. But yeah, so I mean, we start out with that. He's like already struggling because his whole thing is like, don't break the law, right? Mm-hmm. And he's already struggling with like well, I should go back to jail, but I guess I don't have to, you know, and he gets in the cab and he's like, yes. And then the music starts and we get what did you think of the intro for this show?
It's weird.
It's weird.
It's pretty weird. Like, I can't tell if like he was directed to dance like that or if that's his only capability in terms of dancing, because he just doesn't have that many articulating points due to the size of his muscles.
He just doesn't flex as much.
Yeah.
It's so I saw a video where they were the James Gunn and a lot of the cast were talking about who is the best and worst dancer in that intro. And you know, John Cena's like, I mean, we're all our own harshest critics. So I got to say, I'm probably the worst. A lot of people threw Steve Agee under the bus and said he's the worst.
That's funny.
Somebody said Robert Patrick is the worst. I think James Gunn said he thought Robert Patrick was the worst. Overall, though, everybody seemed to agree that Jennifer Holland, who plays Amelia Harcourt, is the best.
Uh-huh.
And she is. She's really sold out to that dancing, man, with the movements and everything. I love this intro. Like, there's the skip intro button. I didn't skip it in one of these episodes.
Really?
I watched it all the way through in all three of them.
One was enough for me.
Yeah. It cracks me up so much. Just the, from the, like you said, just it's weird and robotic at first, but the Robert Patrick one cracks me up where he like, he gives the little pelvis thrust and he gives the like flashlight hands when he does it. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember
that?
Yeah,
I think so.
It's just so fucking weird. I love it, dude. It cracks me up. I also didn't realize going into this show how small Judo Master was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Which you see in the intro. He is a tiny little fella.
He's a little fella. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know. That intro, it just cracks me up so much. And like when they were talking to the cast, Steve Agee was like, I think I'm probably pretty bad. He's like, we had numerous rehearsals and I was still trying to memorize the moves going into the filming of it. He's like, I just couldn't remember them. Like, yeah, I just, oh man, I don't know why that intro absolutely floored me. Like, I was like, I'm going to love this show. Like, because I love James Gunn's stuff. I think his humor, his horror, his, you know, action, he does a lot of stuff really well. And he writes it well. He, you know, directs it well. And so just seeing that, I was like, it's stupid enough to hook me, but it's like just funny and weird enough to make me be like, they spent time on this, you know, like they choreographed a dance.
Yeah.
like that's just silly. after that, we get introduced to, what did you think of Robert Patrick's performance in this? As Peacemaker's dad?
Pretty good, but it's unsettling just because he's so,
oh my god, is it
so racist?
Yeah, and homophobic. Yeah, and everything. Yeah. He drops the thing that made my skin crawl. He drops a hard F in the first movie.
Yeah.
You know, a homophobic slur. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know he's supposed to be an asshole and all that, but I was like, ugh, like that just makes my skin crawl when I hear it, you know, like, because it's just so hateful. And, I did like right before that, though, you get an idea of how fucked up they are because they laugh until this old man almost chokes to death. They laugh talking about Bloodsport being tortured by his dad with hungry rats. Uh-huh. And I was like, what the hell, man? Like, you really get an idea of how fucked up their relationship is, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Robert Patrick. And then later on when he's making kind of the racial slurs at the one police officer. Oh, what is her name?
The trying to find actor her. Or the character?
Either one. Is it either one.
The character, I think, is called Sophie Song. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. 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 Officer or Agent Song. Yeah. So, yeah, they, but yeah, even when he's like making the racist Asian remarks at her, I was like, damn, dude, like this is kind of hard to watch, you know?
Yeah, it's a little rough. And then he ends up in prison at some point. And you watched all three, right?
I did watch all three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's like a white supremacist group in there that recognizes him as like their leader. And they keep referring to him as the White Dragon.
Right.
Did you know anything about the White Dragon?
I did not. I looked it up after.
I did too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he is a KKK neo-Nazi white supremacist in the DC universe.
Yeah.
And he's not Augie Smith in the DC universe.
No, he's not.
Yeah. When they started saying the white, well, first of all, they started saying hail and they're doing the Nazi salute. And I was like, well, that's not good. But even before they did that, they, you know, Song says to somebody else, she goes, I thought we put capes in Belle Reve, you know? And they're like, yeah, but they're overflowing. They're full. And so you're like, oh, so he was some sort of former hero villain something, you know? So how much did you read up on the White Dragon, like the comic version?
I read about who he was and the character's name, not like his alias, but
right.
I knew a little bit based on the, like, that he had different costumes and stuff like that, but the thing that I got out of it is that, like, they probably did that because there's a version of Peacemaker post-Crisis on Infinite Earths. This is where Peacemaker is just a little bit more, like, violent, but he's also kind of, like, mentally ill. Like, yeah. His dad was, like, worked in a Nazi camp. And
oh, right on. Okay.
He's haunted by the ghost of his father, and his father's constantly telling him. Like, so his father was a Nazi, and gotcha. He's constantly, okay, like pointing out all of his failures.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I think that's that might have been where they thought that it would be okay to just to make him like a Nazi supervillain. You know?
Gotcha. Yep. Well, and so the thing was, when I looked at up White Dragon, the White Dragon originally in the comics, his name was William Hell, and he changed his or he adopted the name William Hell from William Heller. Right.
OK.
When you look him up on like the DC database, it's like affiliation for William Heller, affiliation, Suicide Squad, Fourth Reich, Aryan Empire.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. But anyway, yeah, he became a masked vigilante, like fighting crime. But he says he would turn over black, Latino or Asian criminals to the police while sending white ones to the nearest Aryan Empire headquarters.
Wow.
As a masked vigilante. Yeah. And so eventually, like, they caught him and blah, blah, blah. And then he became the White Dragon and became a bad guy, you know? Uh-huh. I'm like, holy fuck. Like, again, leave it to somebody like James Gunn to be like, hey, do you guys care if I use the Nazi guy? Are you ever going to use him in live action? They're like, no. He's like, can I use him? And they're like, I guess. You know, which I think is sort of what happened with Starro. You know, I mean, if you look at it in the Suicide Squad, I think he was like, are you guys ever going to do Starro in live action? And they're like, Warner Brothers, like, no. He's like, can I use him? You know, like, but yeah, just fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had a weird, like, he almost had. So, you know, if you look at like Bloodsport's comic powers, he has basically access to like a bag of holding almost, with like an interdimensional armory in it that he can pull things out of. Mm-hmm. Right. They sort of changed that for the movie, where he instead has these like alien tech things on him that kind of become whatever weapon he needs it to be in the moment. Right.
Right.
But they sort of came back to that with this weird like TARDIS closet in Augie Smith's house. Mm-hmm. You know, where like he opened it up, it's like the secret closet that's just like full of like this huge warehouse arsenal of shit, which I thought was pretty interesting.
That's pretty
like
cool.
Yeah. I just hope we get to see all those different Peacemaker helmets in use.
Yeah.
You know, which that's something, again, I didn't really know the character from the comics. I was unaware that his helmet could do a bunch of different crazy shit, and so I liked that they then threw that into here, you know, like, which we see later on. We see the force field or force blast kind of helmet in use, you know.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. But
so I don't know enough about Peacemaker, so I don't know anything about like special powers or anything that this helmet had. But I do know that like that same version of Peacemaker after Crisis on Infinite Earths,
yeah,
he believed that the souls of the people that he killed, and then also anybody who died in the vicinity of him, would be trapped inside of the helmet. And
really?
Yeah, and he would talk to them and get like advice on things.
Really?
Yeah, like he's super unstable.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not super hard to believe though, because if you remember Suicide Squad, the first one, that's what the katana woman, that's what her sword does. It traps the souls of people that she kills with it.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be out of the question that his helmet could maybe do that. The funny thing is, and not funny, because I mean, well, it's funny. Let's just say ridiculous mental illness like that portrayed is funny. I know that real mental illness is not a laughing matter, you know, but let's be honest. Sometimes it's kind of a laughing matter.
But he's talking to ghosts. So I think that it opens the door, and I kind of hope that they do this. I don't know if they will, but I kind of hope that they do sort of implement something about the, like the ghosts and the helmet thing, because I think it opens the door for some like really good comedic value there, you know?
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think it would 100%. Yeah, that's funny though. I didn't know that either. That's great. The ghost of people that die around him.
Yeah.
Go into
and it's
helmet.
Not even just the people that he kills. It's like people that die in his vicinity. They also get yeah. trapped in the helmet.
That's so funny. He's just like walking past a nursing home. Yeah. And suddenly he hears like five more voices. Like, oh, oh my gosh. So anyway, yeah, that's hilarious though.
Yeah.
So yeah, we see that he doesn't get much free time in his newfound freedom before the Argus peeps kind of track him down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we get Steve Agee and Jennifer Holland back as John Economist and Amelia Harcourt from the Suicide Squad.
Right.
They helped the remaining squad members fight Starro. Like, they're the man behind the computer, so to speak. after Amanda Waller got taken down by her kind of right-hand person in that movie, right?
Right.
How do you like these two? I think they both play their roles really well, but what do you think of these characters and, like, the just their interaction with John Cena and things like that?
I really like Steve Agee's character. I like the dye beard joke going back and forth and how much it, like, irritates him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amelia Harcourt's a little harder to like. I know, like, they're purposefully, like, portraying her as a cold person, but...
Right, right.
I'm just not really that into the character right now. I might change. I mean, they did sort of, like, in the third episode, I should say. She sort of seemed to be warming up to Peacemaker a little bit more. Even though he's, mm-hmm. like, a murderous vigilante.
Right, yeah. Who's just trying to sleep with her.
Yeah.
Like... I did like that in the second episode, though, when she's at the bar and the first guy comes up to try to hit on her and she's like, just let me have my fucking beer. And then Peacemaker comes in and she finally goes off and's like, I guess whether it's those assholes or you, I'm not allowed to just sit and have a goddamn beer, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's funny. Like, I liked her character a lot there where she's just like, fuck off. Like, I'm not trying to sleep with anybody tonight, you know, like, I just want to have a beer and go home, you know? That did make me laugh quite a bit because she was just like, you know, like she's definitely the hard edged, no nonsense, you know, but I like that about her character, you know. And then we've got, you know, I mentioned we've got a couple newcomers. We've got Clemson Mern and Leota Adebayo, which played by, ooh, I'm going to butcher his name. I'm sorry. Chukwudi Awuji and Danielle Brooks. Respectively, and what did you think about
pronounced
these
Brooks?
it's Brooks. Sorry. I knew I was going to get that one messed up. Damn it! fuck! I wasn't even close. but what did you think about these two when they joined the cast, like, and their characters and just their interactions and things?
I don't know. She's okay. She seems kind of. I mean, like, the whole introduction between her and John Cena and the others where she's like, I'm really happy to be here. And it goes on for way too long.
Yeah, I know in my mind I'm not supposed to be making a speech right now, but my mouth's just doing what it wants.
Yeah,
that line was hilarious.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah,
I don't really have an opinion on Clemson Mern, really. He's just kind of a hard ass type character. And that's really the only thing that I've seen about him. Is he based on a DC character or is he unique to the show?
I think both of these two are brand new characters for the show.
Okay. I was going to say, I couldn't find anything else on him and I hadn't looked for her yet.
Well, and so we get the twist in, I think, episode two that she's Amanda Waller's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting to me. The other reason that's pretty interesting to me is that in the comics, Amanda Waller is always portrayed in the comics, usually portrayed in the comics, as a kind of a heavier set black woman instead of, and Viola Davis is by no means heavy set. You know, she's a little bit heavier than, like, in a superhero movie. You get a bunch of really rail thin people, but, you know, Danielle Brooks is built more like Amanda Waller in the comics typically is.
Right.
And so I'm almost wondering also with her being a lesser name, if maybe they're going to, at some point, if Viola Davis is like, I'm kind of done with this, they're going to make her the new Amanda Waller, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They may not, but I do like her character. I like, at first, she seems like she's way out of her element, but then the more you realize, you're like, well, maybe she's not quite as out of her element as I thought she was. Maybe a lot of it's an act, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, you know, Amanda Waller's like, you're my eyes and ears, like, do what you do best, you know? And then also we see, like, when she didn't want to shoot the guy, you're like, in episode three, but then after he's shot, she sort of just cuts into him with, like, there wasn't a whole lot of hesitation there.
Yeah,
you know, to make sure he's not one of these creatures or whatever. So I don't know. I still don't know where she stands. I think they played some great jokes with her because she's a lesbian in the show. And they played some great jokes between her and Peacemaker where he's like, I'm an ally. I think two women going at it's hot, you know, and I love her line. One of the better jokes in the three episodes. I thought she goes, you're not an ally because you have a lesbian haircut. And I was like, that's an amazing joke.
Yeah, it's pretty like, funny.
But then I like, he fires right back. He's like, look at my porn search history. I think it would beg to differ with you or something like that. And I was like, oh God. Like, I thought that was really funny. I love he plays, you talked about his comedic timing. I think he plays this character so well as being someone who's emotionally a child still, like he's just stunted.
Yep.
And it's very much like how obviously a different tone, but the way we talked about Vincent D'Onofrio playing the Kingpin as somebody who's like still very much a child emotionally, but big and scary. And that's kind of how he plays Peacemaker, you know, where he's like making the comments like, that and a huge dick. In fact, it's too big. A lot of people are hurt by it.
They used to call me Chimp Arm.
Yeah, they used to call me Chimp Arm. That was a great line too. I was like, oh my God. There's so many good one-liners in this.
Yeah.
That or when he's like, he's talking about the lady that he had sex with. He's like, before she came, like four times, you know, like she really enjoyed it. And they were like, nobody cares. And he's like, hey, you caught me. I was trying to casually slip it into conversation, hoping you wouldn't notice. Like, it's just so fucking hilarious. Like, I'm with you. I think John Cena is grossly underestimated as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, I saw in an interview this week, you know how a lot of people wanted him to play Shazam before Zachary Levi got the role.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
No, like, I didn't
because
know that.
Shazam in the comics is like, because he's this little boy's idealized body of what a superhero should look like, he's always portrayed as being slightly bulkier and more muscular than Superman, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people were like, you should get John Cena. And in an interview this week, he actually said that he auditioned for Shazam. And he was like, a lot of times, a lot of my humor and a lot of my thought processes are very childlike, so I think it would have really fit. You know, and he's like, I think it would have been awesome to do. And he's like, but you just keep trying. And fortunately, I landed on this character, you know, but, and then he said he's also auditioned for some Marvel roles as well that he didn't get.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was like, huh. But I mean, I think looking at this, I think he could have done Shazam really well as well. Like he's like a big kid, you know?
Yeah.
He plays that role really well. Yeah. So I don't know. I thought this was good. I even like in the comics Peacemaker, I do know this. He has a jetpack and I love the whole jetpack discussion, you know, like he's like, you guys aren't very creative with the names. Project Starfish. We fought a big giant walking starfish. What am I fighting now? A Mothra? Project Butterfly. And then they were like, And he goes, am I fighting a Mothra? He's like, I'm going to need a jetpack if I'm going to fight a Mothra. He just kept saying a Mothra, which cracked me up because Mern was like, you're not fighting a Mothra. And he's like, I still want the jetpack because now you got me thinking about it and I really want one. It's just like a child, yeah. You know, it's just funny as hell, man. Yeah. So what about the other characters we met? So we met a couple more capes, so to speak. You know, we meet Vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of this guy?
Very mentally unstable individual.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Very unhinged. I know he's based on a DC character. I didn't look into him too much.
He is, yeah. And I don't know much about Vigilante.
But his costume looks pretty spot on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know much about Vigilante, but yeah, I thought he did a pretty good job of being like the kind of the annoying friend. That made me laugh that he was just like, you know, he was like, we're best friends. He's like, you're not my best friend. He's like, what? I mean, I think looking this up, this is kind of what I thought. Like he's kind of like he is in the show. He's just a dude.
Yeah.
In the comics, he's actually a district attorney. Adrian Chase is. He's a district attorney and later a judge in New York City. And then after his wife and kid are murdered by the mob, he becomes Vigilante. So that's the comic character. This one is obviously vastly diverges from that backstory.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he was like, aren't you so-and-so's brother that used to always be playing Dungeons and Dragons? And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, you've gotten in good shape. Good on you. Like, did that crack me up too? I also like too that they just like, and there is something therapeutic about this. I don't know if you've ever been to like a shooting range. I haven't been in a long ass time, but there's something very therapeutic about just shooting things, you know? And like, I love that they go out in the middle of the woods. He's like, I've been saving up old appliances since you got locked up. And they're just shooting shit with like bows and arrows and rifles and guns and bombing things. Yeah. And they start throwing bombs at each other. like Roman candle fights between children, you know, like just ridiculous. But yeah, I like the guy. I think he does a good job of playing the like mentally unstable, but just wants to belong, you know?
Yeah.
But you also get the sense of like what a badass he has trained himself to become, mm-hmm. you know, like he just steps in and like, look out. Can I squeeze in for a second? And then just takes three sniper shots dead to rights, you know, like just boom, 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 like right in a row.
Yeah.
You're like, shit. Okay. So this guy does know his shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like that. He had a pretty funny gag too, when, cause his whole shtick is he won't be unmasked. He doesn't want anybody to know his secret identity. Yeah. And so when they finally pull his mask off, he's like, he's like, what are you doing? He's like, if I keep changing my facial, if I keep moving my face, he won't be able to identify me in a lineup. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like that bit got me too. Like I laughed out loud at that bit.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Like,
that's hilarious. We also see that, the two of them tag team the lady that the couple that John Cena broke into their apartment.
Oh,
when he was trying to, yeah. or Peacemaker when he was trying to escape.
Yeah. I forgot about
they,
that.
We end up seeing them in bed with her.
Like, he's still wearing his mask.
Which is, so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It cracks that there was just so much to like about this. Like I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I thought it was really well done. I thought that it balanced the action and the humor. I don't know. What do you think? Anything else? I've been kind of rambling.
Fine. As far as like how I felt about the show, I definitely liked it more than I like Boba Fett.
Okay.
I don't like Book of Boba Fett. I think that it's a heaping pile of trash. But this isn't too bad. This had some good comedy beats to it. The story's okay. I mean, it's not heinous or anything. Yeah, it's not bad.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I know what's a couple of the side characters. What do you think's going on with the 80s hair lady that Peacemaker takes home, goes back to her place, and then she turned out to be super powered?
Uh-huh.
What do you think her deal is? Because there's some sort of alien artifact in her apartment.
Do you think that she was a butterfly, or are the butterflies alien, or...
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. I mean, I assume there's some sort of alien, but I don't know. As far as I know, which I don't know DC lore, like deep DC lore as much, I don't know that they're based on anything that I'm aware of, but they might be, you know?
Okay.
I know that there was talk, one of the videos I watched was talk that, you know, there is a Blue Beetle movie, I think, coming.
Uh-huh.
And in Blue Beetle's back, like in that lore, there's an alien race that sends these like artifacts to Earth that give people powers.
Okay.
They send them to all a bunch of different planets, and they're like these little scarabs that give them powers. And so, you know, one thought was, well, maybe this is one of those things, you know, like maybe this will dovetail into the Blue Beetle movie.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know.
Is John Cena going to be in that one too? Because there's some connection between Blue Beetle and Peacemaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Peacemaker was in some Blue Beetle comics.
Really? Yeah. I don't know. I'd be interested to see. I don't know. But yeah, maybe. I thought that was funny. I thought Judo Master was hilarious that he's like really little. Like, and especially when Peacemaker just is like, he's eating those flaming hot Cheetos and Peacemaker's just like trash talking him, you know? He's like, if my Achilles tendon ever snaps, I'm going to use you to replace it with your whole body.
That's right.
He's like, thanks for helping me wiggle my toes.
It's just like shit talking him for like 5 minutes and it's hilarious.
And then he finally is like, you eating Flamin' Hot Cheetos? And he's like, yeah. He's like, can I have one? And then the guy starts like just flicking them at him and they're like hurting. He's like, ah, what do they make Cheetos out of? Yeah. I thought that was fucking, that whole interaction. Like I said, like it's these little interactions and James Gunn does that really well. I think he writes interactions between characters incredibly well. And all those little beats like that just fucking cracked me up, man.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, that was funny. You know, I'm trying to think what else there was that that really, really made me laugh. Because there was something else I wanted to make sure that we covered that just cracked me up. Oh, I like that he just stole from that lady's, like, all of her, like, records and cassettes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, after he blew her up.
Yeah, that's right.
That was just so funny. Oh, I know what the other thing was I wanted to talk about was the fact that he has a pet bald eagle.
Oh, yeah, Eagly.
Yeah, yeah, Eagly.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. Like, I thought it was going to, because we saw the eagle in the trailers. I didn't know it was going to be his, like, trained pet.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
You know, that eagle's got some funny personality, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the fact that it bit Adebayo, you know,
yeah.
And she was like, I thought you said he was friendly. He goes, I thought you meant friendly to me. She's like, well, of course he's friendly to you, like, dumbass. Yeah. And then when it, like, after he got in the big fight and was all beat up and blew the lady up with his helmet, it, like, dropped off a possum to him.
Yeah.
like it brought him food.
So for a CG character, I think that bird looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Especially if you compare it to the droids in Book of Boba Fett.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not bad at all.
It's not bad.
But yeah, I thought that Eagly was pretty funny. And we obviously didn't go into all the bits. There's so many funny bits, like when the big explosion and, you know, Mern says to Economist, like, are you able to change the registration on the car? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then he changes it to his dad. And he's like, you're going to like this. And then that whole interaction too, again, character interaction. He's like, well, you went to the bathroom. I didn't know if it was in one or a two. And he's like, so I got to text you every time I'm taking a shit. He goes, it would be nice. Just so fucking ridiculous. And we get a great beat too. We won't go into it, but we get a great beat where Economist has to get into some action beats. And Steve Agee plays that incredibly well of like, I'm the tech guy. I do not do action, you know?
Yeah.
That's really funny. I don't know, man. I really like this. I can't wait till next week to watch the next episode.
Yeah, I'll probably keep watching it.
I thought these were great. It makes me a little sad that, you know, if the rumors are true that the Flash movie is going to do away with the current DCEU and like set up a new one, because I'm worried that this stuff may go away as well, like the Gunniverse part of the DCEU.
Oh, you know? Yeah, that's stupid.
I mean, I hope not, because I think he's done a great job and I would love to see him continue to take more creative control. I probably would be into more of the DC stuff if he did.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So overall, what's your final verdict on this?
You want like a rating like now, or do we want to try to revisit this later and after the show's over?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Do you want to wait and rate maybe if we revisit it later at the end of the series or something? Or
yeah, I kind of want to wrap it up and then maybe we'll do like a follow-up episode for like what was left of the series and we can dig into that a little bit more.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
I'll try to keep some notes on stuff that stuck out to me, because there's how many episodes?
It looks like eight.
Okay.
Looks like there's going to be eight of them. And I think they're one a week starting now. Right. They started with the first
three. So we have five more weeks.
Wrap up on February 17th, it looks like.
All right. So yeah, sometime around there, we'll try to revisit the rest of Peacemaker and talk about that.
Yeah, definitely, man. I like I said, I'm having a blast with it. I can't wait to see more. I think it's, you know, if they can keep up what they've done in the first three, I think it's going to be, I think it'll definitely give the Marvel shows a good run for their money. You know?
Yeah, I think so too.
As far as quality and just enjoyability, uh-huh. I guess, you know? So enjoyment. So yeah, man, I'm here for it. I can't wait to see some more and yeah, like I said, maybe we'll if we get a chance, we'll try to revisit it at the end of the series or at the end of the season, at least, you know?
Yep. Sounds good.
Cool. All right, man. Well, sounds good.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Later.
All right. See ya.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.